You know this is just a movie, right?
Whoa, what?
You try this in real life, you could kill someone, or even yourself.
Life's not like the movies. Avoid a life-changing consequence and slow down, because this is one disaster you can't outrun. Speeding catches up with you. A message presented by NHTSA.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
That group. It is 8:06 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I'm Mark Bailey. Good morning. Cameron Eisenberg's on the other side of the glass. It is a Tuesday. I'm on countdown here because I'm 4 days from vacation. So I'm clicking off the hours left and right. Hood River County Administrator Allison Williams and Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer are here. We will talk about... Well, we talked about with Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee last week. We'll talk about the failure of the legislature to get a transportation package out, what that means locally. We'll probably talk about wildfire as well, because not all of that got through in the Oregon legislature, and that, of course, is very timely in this area. Second half of the show, Wasco County Commissioner Phil Brady is going to be here in studio, and speaking of things that have happened at the state government level, the Resolution Center effort, apparently, I'm told, has suffered a pretty good setback. Through the Oregon Health Authority. We'll talk to Phil about that in the second half of the program this morning. So all that on Mid-Columbia Today, but first, as we always do, let's tell you about this day and what it means to some people. 1776, Colonel John Nixon gave the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence outside the State House, now Independence Hall in Philadelphia. 1947, the Roswell Daily Record quoted officials at Roswell Army Airfield as saying they had recovered a flying saucer that crashed onto a ranch. Officials then said it was actually a weather balloon, but a tourism industry began for Roswell, New Mexico at that moment. And they're cashing in to this day. 1950, President Harry Truman named General Douglas MacArthur Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Forces in Korea. Truman had to fire him a few months later for insubordination. 1972, the Nixon administration announced a deal to sell $750 million in grain to the Soviet Union. However, the Soviets were also engaged in secretly buying subsidized American grain, resulting in what critics dubbed the Great Grain Robbery. I'm going to be honest, I had not heard of this until this on the AP came down. So I do not know what the Great Grain Robbery really was about. 1994, Kim Il-sung, North Korea's communist leader since 1948, died at age 82. 2010, the largest spy swap between the U.S. and Russia since the Cold War unfolded, as 10 people accused of spying in suburban America pled guilty to conspiracy and were ordered deported to Russia in exchange for the release of 4 prisoners accused of spying for the West. 2011, the 135th and final space shuttle mission began when Space Shuttle Atlantis launched from Kennedy Space Center. 2018, divers rescued 4 of the 12 boys who've been trapped in a flooded cave in northern Thailand with their soccer coach for more than 2 weeks. The remaining 8 boys and their coach rescued over the next 2 days. 2022, former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe assassinated on a street in western Japan by a gunman who opened fire on him from behind as he delivered a campaign speech. Days for today. It is Scud Day today. Now, those of you who are a certain age may remember the Scud missiles from the Gulf War in the early 90s. That's not what this is. It's actually short for Savor the Comic, Unplug the Drama Day today. It's something we all probably could do. It is Math 2.0 Day today. This celebrates the intersection of math and technology. It is Be a Kid Again Day today. Take some time just to have a little fun out there. And for whatever reason today, it's Cow Appreciation Day today. So appreciate all the cow does for you. food today, it's actually mainly, well, actually one isn't necessarily a snack, but we use it in some snack type things. It's National Blueberry Day today. Muffins, pancakes, or just pop a few. It is National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day today, to get very specific. It is National Freezer Pop Day today. If those of you, I think they still have these. They were the basically the colored flavored water in plastic tubes. Your mom would buy them, throw them in the freezer, and then they'd give them to you when you said you wanted something at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a hot day like today. When you, what you really wanted is also a day today. It's National Ice Cream Sundae Day today. Pick your favorite sundae and go with it. It is 8:10 in the morning. We'll talk Hood River County after this.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one, contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step two, create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step three, gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event!
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is 8:12 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams with us. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're going to jump in and talk about something... Talked about last week with Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee, and that is about the failure of a transportation package from the Oregon legislature and what it means to local governments. And Allison, you were on with your Public Works Director, Corey Weissner, a couple months ago.
Yes.
And said how vital it was for Hood River County for something to get passed. It didn't. So now what? Where are we at?
Well, I think certainly everyone is hoping for a special session. I think certainly our commissioners are hearing concerns about the level of maintenance and safety for our roadways. We're already digging into our reserves to put together the program that we have, and which includes chip sealing. But you look at general safety things like sign replacement, you know, fog lane striping and those sorts of things. Those are the things that you start to wield back if you don't have the funding. And I think our relationship with ODOT, what counties were trying to relay is that this was the transportation bill that was put together was a relationship between the state, counties and cities, and we all have a share in the roadway system, and without that package with the cost of inflation and the cost of staffing, we're just falling farther and farther behind.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the safety issues, of course we need the maintenance issues in order to have the roads in the first place. But if we weren't able to plow, if there's less plowing, the plowing doesn't get done as soon, then that'll have safety implications for the people that staff all of the fire departments and ambulances in Hood River. There's just far-reaching results down the road from this.
What does this do, if anything? You just finished a budget, Jennifer, here a couple weeks ago. What does this do to budget planning without this just hanging over everybody?
It's a little hard to plan if we don't know how much money we're getting. And so it won't change much if we don't get any more money from the state.
Obviously, we budgeted conservatively, utilizing the revenues we have, which are a drawdown of the reserves in the road fund. And so the hope was that the transportation package would be phased in over the course of 3 years, and it would be a $1.8 million additional difference, which when you're trying to replace a bridge or deal with some of the roadways is a huge impact to us. So,
I'm going to ask a question that I know the answer to already, but I feel like probably people might want to ask this, and that is, Jennifer, is there any way the county can backfill any of this? Like I said, I think I know the answer to this, but
the obvious answer is no.
And legally, we can't use general fund on
transportation anyway.
Right.
So I throw that out there just to get it out of the way.
You needed us to say it.
I'm not the one who should say it. You should say it.
Right. And we think about our roadway system and how it accesses our forestry assets, our recreational assets, and is a connection. It's just a part of the basic infrastructure we need to provide for our citizens.
And then also we have the arteries that are state roads.
Well,
what will happen to those?
Well, you've got state roads going through this county in the D Highway, Highway 281.
Mm-hmm. 282.
You've got
35,
26. Well, I don't know if 26.
26 is
not
in the
quite,
county.
Not quite. But the point being, these are roads. Do you worry? Has ODOT said anything about how they're going to be able to maintain these roads and keep them clear in the wintertime? Because I think that's where people grumble, I think, when they hit potholes, et cetera. And if it's a road they go over all the time, they really grumble. Mm-hmm. But I think where really the potential is that people start to notice where the problem is when we have a snowstorm in the wintertime.
Absolutely.
People trying to get cleared out. And there's a reality that how roads get cleared out in Hood River County and in other counties as well, is a partnership between the city, the county, and the state, because the state can handle the state highways, which is the city and county, do some of the other major arterials in the area.
Right.
It's a little hard to get to some of our arterials if the state highways are not plowed. So that's sort of step one in much of the valley.
Which is where, and that's where I ask about a little bit. You have to think about in some way, maybe backfill isn't the right term, but think about how you're going to maybe have to do a little of that to be able to make everything else function.
Well, and I think right now it remains to be seen. Obviously, layoff notices went out for ODOT yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so the implications of who exactly is getting laid off or which positions are not getting filled will then dictate what resources do we have in our county. And then how are we going to have to coordinate coming up for snow season?
You mentioned you were at Association of Oregon Counties yesterday, Allison.
Well, listened into the legislative recap.
Okay.
A group of us, including Corey Wiesner, our public works director, we were finishing up with County College on the last day of the legislative session. And so there were 30 commissioners and staff people that sat in for the bill hearing, which was an attempt to save ODOT at the expense of all else.
Yeah.
And that effort failed, and then they adjourned the legislature with no solution for anything.
Mm-hmm. So what has been with AOC? The any general, at this point, strategy or thought here?
Well, I think everybody is gearing up for a special session. And I think there has to be a solution.
Because yeah. But there also is, admittedly, I one of the things I really hated was they adjourned 2 days early, which that in this situation, usually that doesn't bother me. This one it did because you left something big and hanging like this. But having said that, there's no reason to go back to special session until leadership hits an agreement in some way. Without that, why send everybody there to sit there and maybe make things worse? That's what concerns me. Is if you just call it special session without a plan, this thing could get worse, not better.
Well, and I absolutely agree, and I would say that our team at the Association of Oregon Counties is in the midst of that conversation. Yeah. This whole bill was a partnership between the League of Oregon Cities, the Association of Oregon Counties, and the state to try to get a comprehensive package passed. So everybody has to be at the table to have something that's going to work for a special session. So, yeah.
Not just transportation, obviously, got discussed at this. That's just the big one that got left with really a zero on the board. This also discussed, wildfire was kind of a mixed bag in the end, wasn't it? You got some things, Jennifer, but also, especially in the mitigation side, some funding didn't happen.
Well, as I understand it, they repealed the map, and also we got some rate relief. So what the county pays for coverage of fire suppression on the county lands, that was a plus. Mm-hmm. That was a win. But anything for mitigation didn't go.
It is a concern.
By the way, Jeff Helfrich is going to be on the show on Friday.
Okay.
To send me off on vacation. I'm going to address with him is, the Rowena fire, which technically wasn't in your county, but certainly impacted the entire Mid-Columbia and certainly sent it's a reminder of how quickly a fire in this area can get away because of the winds and conditions, which really headlines why the mitigation part's so important. Were you surprised, dealing with the AOC folks, other county folks, surprised that mitigation didn't get a better outcome in the session?
It is concerning. Mm-hmm. And I think for all of our efforts here in the county through the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, which included, the community wildfire protection plans, we have a number of mitigation projects teed up in places where we've had fires, like along the Indian Creek Corridor and had a plan for resources. That's where you get to the intertie of the federal funding and the state funding. And so, we're even concerned about the federal pass-through funds that fund emergency management efforts. Mm-hmm. And we had an application teed up for an AmeriCorps volunteer to do some mitigation planning and coordination. And, all of those things have gone by the wayside. So, obviously, from the county's perspective, we have to have the emergency management. It's just critical in this place in which we live.
And also, for Hood River County, when you talk about wildfire mitigation, which maybe the other counties don't really have, the issue of you have a county forest.
We do.
And I know the work that goes on at the county level to keep it green and mitigate everything you can, but your neighbors are the federal forest lands.
Exactly. That's a constant concern, is whether or not they have the same objectives that we have in terms of fire.
I didn't have to finish the sentence, and you knew where I was going. That's okay. I think everybody knew where I was going if they've listened for any period of time to this program over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being that there's such a fiscal importance to Hood River County to have forest health and mitigate these fires.
Right.
That's not even taking into account the human cost that we saw in Rowena.
Exactly.
At this stage. Let me ask you this, as we start to run short here at time. What from the legislature was there? I assume that there, I guess the bridge is the obvious positive for your county.
It is.
Is the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But what else maybe happen in the legislative session that maybe is of assistance to the counties like yours?
Well, the one thing that was of note to me is the county has stood up a new deflection program, mm-hmm. which is will be really valuable for us in terms of the navigation of those folks that are facing the judicial system. And they raised the floor on that. So that makes it easier for us to stand up the regional program when you have that grant funding. Mm-hmm. So
that's some good news. And on the housing side, I'm not sure it was realistic to do enough, because eventually you hit a resource limit. But do you feel like some progress was made on housing issues?
Well, I think those are certainly conversations that we are going to have. The housing incentives that have come down have significantly been for cities.
Right.
And so we are having ongoing conversations about the management of the areas within the urban growth areas. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're looking at the Odell unincorporated community plan. Mm-hmm. We're looking to those incentives for additional resources to finish the mm-hmm. Odell plan. I think the incentives that are out there, we are exploring. Yeah.
Speaking of the Odell unincorporated plan, quick update. Where are we at here on this?
So we're through phase one. Mm-hmm. And so in the county's budget is funding mm-hmm. to move forward to phase two. We are trying to get grant funding because there is... it comes with additional technical assistance provided by the state if mm-hmm. we are to go through their program. Mm-hmm. And so we should know about that later this year and start the second phase right after the January of next year.
Mm-hmm. But we've already identified, as you probably know, the locations that we could expand into when we decide which ones.
Mm-hmm. 8:26 in the morning. Hood River County Commissioner Jennifer Ewer, Commission Chair and Administrator Allison Williams, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
News and then Phil Brady, Wasco County Commissioner, coming up as MCT continues.
At Pierstoke Sports, we've got what you need for your kind of fun in the gorge. Trails, wind, water. We have the hottest pair of wings from Ozone in stock now. Plus smoking hot wing foil packages. Woo-hee! Ice axes, crampons, and skins for your mountaineering adventures are here. Our camping department is fully stocked with Deuter backpacks and waist packs for mountaineering, day hikes, trail running, and more. Plus skateboards as well as complete decks. Shop for fun. Shop Pierstoke. New and used gear for four seasons of adventure.
Warm days are back in the Gorge. Don't wait for the heat to spike before checking your AC. I'm Kimberly from A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Now is the perfect time for your AC maintenance. We offer exclusive memberships including HVAC, monitoring, generators, and plumbing to keep your whole home running smoothly year-round. Is your system ready for replacement? As the 2024 Highest Residential Participation Award winner from Energy Trust of Oregon, we'll help you maximize rebates and incentives to return your home to peak performance and keep cash in your pocket. Call us, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
The American cowboy is everything that makes this country great.
There's a freedom to being a cowboy.
Being a cowgirl is not a safe, easy path, but it's one that's very rewarding.
The American cowgirl is dedicated to her livestock. She's dedicated to her country, and she's dedicated to her family.
The American cowboy is honest.
We're the backbone of how this country was founded.
There's a whole lot of legacy that goes along with being a cowboy, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Boo Barn, keep west.
When you've got real work to do, Metal Supermarkets will help you get it done, fast. We've got a huge variety of metals in stock, and we cut to size, fast. Bottom line, we get it done fast, so you get it done fast. Doesn't get easier than that. Metal Supermarkets, the convenience stores for metal. Find a store or buy online at metalsupermarkets.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:28 in the morning on Mid-Columbia today, and let's take a look at what is in the news. A fire near Wyeth Campground east of Cascade Locks Monday evening. It burned about 25 acres heading into the night. Cascade Locks Fire and EMS said command of the fire scene had been turned over to the Forest Service late last night. All local resources except for Cascade Locks crews released from the scene. Multiple aircraft responded to assist in the firefighting effort soon after the fire started late Monday afternoon and moved to the northeast. Hood River County Sheriff's Office kept Wyeth Campground on a level 2 get set evacuation advisory overnight, while the Wyeth Boat Launch and Inloo was at level 1 be ready. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek's office said on Monday that the first round of layoffs had begun at the Oregon Department of Transportation. KETU reports ODOT initiated 483 of the estimated 700 total layoffs on Monday. The layoffs were a known consequence expected after the Oregon legislature failed to pass a transportation funding package during the legislative session. The governor's office warns the second wave of layoffs is expected for early 2026 unless the legislature is able to get a full funding bill passed before then. Kotek has directed the state chief operating officer and the chief financial officer to review ODOT's reduction plan with ODOT's director, Chris Streckler. Kotek asked for a plan focused on limiting the immediate impact to basic services. Oregon Heritage, a division of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, awarding 20 grants totaling $300,000 for historic properties and archaeology projects, including two in the Mid-Columbia area, receiving $20,000 each. The city of Wasco is receiving a grant for its continued rehabilitation of the Wasco Train Depot. The grant goes toward repairing the Train Depot deck platforms. The city of Antelope also was awarded a grant to restore the exterior front windows of the Antelope School Building. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission are inviting the public to Lampreypalooza on Wednesday. It's an afternoon of science, storytelling, and up-close encounters with one of the Northwest's most ancient native fish. Lampreypalooza highlights the cultural importance of Pacific lamprey and the efforts to support their recovery. Visitors can explore live demonstrations, hear from tribal representatives, and see lamprey up close. All events open to the public and take place at Bonneville Dam tomorrow. Weather, sunny, hot, highs in the 90s today. West winds could get gusty, though, particularly in the eastern part of the gorge. Our current temperatures at this time, Hood River at 72, the Dalles 74, 8:31 in the morning. Wasco County Commissioner Phil Brady is coming up next.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog. Just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
Thinking of climbing our iconic Mount Hood? Mount Hood reaches over 11,000 feet. A climbing permit is needed for anyone ascending over 9,500 feet. Permits are required year-round and can be purchased at recreation.gov. These climbing permits help fund emergency rescue services on the mountain, as well as infrastructural, educational, and sanitation services. The permits range from three-day passes for $20 to annual passes for $50.
When I found out my son was using marijuana, I thought it was just part of adolescence.
Lots of teens and young people get high.
But then I found out how powerful today's concentrates are.
I couldn't believe it.
It's far more powerful than weed from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
When teens use vapes or dabs, the potency can be 80 to 100% THC.
THC can cause addiction, hallucinations, paranoia, anxiety, and cannabis-induced psychosis in youth.
For teens and young adults, marijuana use comes with increased risks
of suicidal thoughts, planning, and attempts.
And these high THC products can be bought almost anywhere, from gas stations to dispensaries. I had no idea.
Talk to your children well before they experiment with today's potent THC products.
Get educated.
Help them understand the dangers are real.
Just say no, K-N-O-W. Go to justsayno.org today for the facts.
A public service message from Johnny's Ambassadors.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is 8:33 in the morning on Mid-Columbia today. Phil Brady, Wasco County Commissioner, joins us. Good morning, Phil. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, I hope you have a good vacation coming up here. I won't keep you waiting.
No, you won't be the one keeping me waiting. Friday is the last day, and I'll be gone for a week. So traditional summer away for a while.
Good.
First, before we get into the resolution, Sarah, it's going to take up most of our time with you, I have a feeling. We should touch on Rowena Fire, cleanup efforts, anything to pass along here. I mean, you had a meeting last week, County Commission, where you heard people's concerns and frustrations, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And much of this is a timeline that the county doesn't necessarily control here.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'll just step one step back. You know, my heart and soul, tears go out to people in Texas who are suffering that, and to be as a warning, folks. Flash floods do happen here. One of the worst was in 1903. My grandmother survived the Heppner flood. Mm-hmm. It killed 247 people. So that it's not like it could happen here. It has happened.
It has
here.
Happened.
And get moving toward Rowena. Mm-hmm. The thing to do is, if there is an alert that goes out, heed the alert.
Right.
We have a grid system where we set up ready, set, go. And go means grab that go bag and get out of here, because the wind can blow. We're actually moving into another red flag warning this week, where the winds and the heat can make the fires move fast. Getting back to what you... going back, you know, when now as an elected official, I'm often in that hot seat where, after something terrible has happened, our feelings go out to people, and everybody's emotions are so raw that it's the best we can do is listen and say, okay, this is what we can do to help. Mm-hmm. We're moving into stage two. Stage one was get everybody's immediate needs met. We need food, we need water, we need to get our the assessor to get our property papers down, need diapers, big piles of diapers were available. And now we're into stage two, where the state DEQ is coming in and starting cleanup. It's two stages. One, first they're gonna comb through and pull out. There's lots of toxic stuff in our houses. A lot of these old houses have lath and plaster, which has asbestos in it. Mm-hmm. And so they'll pull out all the dangerous articles, and then stage two, they're basically going to scrape the ground to make it so that people can start to come in.
And you may not be the person to ask here. Has the contract been put together with DEQ? I mean, I think the hope was this week to get started.
Yes, the plan is to get started. We're told we were getting started this week. I went by yesterday, but the road was closed, and I'm not one to go through and say, "Hey, let me go through."
Yeah, you're a county commissioner.
I don't play that card.
That's good. By the way, that is good. I've seen that card played, and it's not helpful usually.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that continues on. I know there are going to be some more of the multi-agency resource center.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be kind of targeted at specific subjects now as time goes on.
Yes, and it's staged according to what people need. And I'm sorry, I should have looked up ahead of time when's the next one, but it's on our website.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I've got a date yet. Well, next one coming up. I know there'll be one here at some point. So anyway, we'll move away from that, because we've had a theme here of the Oregon legislature. We had Scott Hagee here also last week. We talked transportation with him. But you alerted me, which I admittedly did not think about this, because wildfire and transportation kind of got the headlines. The resolution center that's been worked on, the mental health resolution center that Lane McGill has been tirelessly working on, others as well, Mid-Columbia Center for Living. And it always seems to be one step forward and two steps back in a lot of ways. And this has happened again, it sounds like. Is this at the legislative level, or is this at the administrative level?
Administrative level.
Okay, yes, what's
happening? We're away from the legislature. Yeah. Okay. So first, let me lay the groundwork for what the plan was four components, starting from the simplest up. One was a sobering center for people who are just need to sober up, or they're having an emotional crisis and need a place to calm down. And that's actually just got some, it's a nice place with chairs. You can relax and calm down until you can face the world again. then the next step up would be a substance abuse disorder. So a place for folks who are trying to get off their addictive drugs. And that would be 16 beds. Now that would be residential. The next step up is a mental health residential treatment center. So that's for people with mental health issues. And then the fourth step is a secure mental health treatment center, which is for people who are dangerous to themselves and others. So there's four different groups there. So we were going to put those together, and it makes sense, and it's a good thing to do to have them in one place, so you can do a warm handoff from one to the other, and the places can work together. But we ran into a wall. It's called the Institute for Mental Disease Exclusion Waiver, and that is... It sounds like a double negative. I see you rolling your eyes already.
Well, it sounds unbelievably bureaucratic. That's what it sounds like to me. And it does not surprise to me that there's something like this that will cause a problem for what you're trying to do.
Yeah. So let me see if I can, if I tell the history. It made sense to me after I learned the history of it. So going back to me, I think it was way back in the Johnson administration. The federal government decided that they do not want to be in the business of helping the mental health hospitals. They wanted the mental health hospitals to be state-run and state-financed. And this was also back in the days, we remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Right. You had some of these institutions that were, I mean, they really were horrible. We have a history of this. Okay.
So the federal government put out, okay, we're not going to allow Medicaid funds to be used for patients in mental health facilities. But then the federal government had a soft spot, unless, and here's the exclusion part, unless it's a small one, 16 beds or fewer.
Okay.
So there's the loophole. Okay.
Right.
We can have this, that we're excluded from that ban on using Medicaid. You need to use Medicaid because you got to pay for this somehow.
Yes.
And the people don't pay for it themselves.
And I'm not going to go into beyond this part about it. I can think of some other problems with the Medicaid plan right now, but I...
Okay. So we wanted to get this exclusion waiver. The waiver is say, okay, you're fitting into that 16-bed exclusion.
Right.
And you might, if you're clever, you say, oh, okay, I see the loophole. I'll build 3 or 4 16-bed units.
True. Yes.
And that... Now, the people who decide, okay, do you fit this or not, is the Oregon
Health Authority.
And they wrote us a very clear letter saying, okay, we recognize that you're going to be doing mental health work, so it's fittings into this exclusion thing. And then here are the 5 rules that we use to apply. And one of the rules is, are you going to have one administrative structure over the whole thing? 2, are they going to be close together? And 3, are they going to be 16 beds or under? And there's 2 more. And as they put those rules together, they said, our project doesn't fit.
I assume it's under the administrative part in particular, because you probably only have one administration, because, frankly, each administration you add costs more money.
Yeah. And we also want to have warm handoffs. Center for Living was going to be doing the major part there. We were also hoping to put it on one site. If necessary, we could have bought in some other pieces of land, but we were hoping to put it there by Kramer Field, on 10th Street.
How far apart do the buildings have to be?
I recall 1,200 feet, which...
That's about a quarter mile.
Quite a ways, yeah.
A teacher like you taught me the math, so it's a quarter mile.
That's right.
Just short of a quarter mile.
So
exactly then... What are the options at this point to try to move forward with this? Because there seems to be from regional officials here a consensus that this needs to be done in some way.
Oh, well, let me throw a little empathy toward the Oregon Health Authority.
Try. Go ahead.
It must have been a hard choice. And I'll give them credit for being rule followers because at the same moment, the Oregon Health Authority is looking at the state mental hospital, which is full, and judges are saying, hey, you've got to allow people within, is it 6 days?
Yeah, or I forget, I don't know the exact timeline, but the basic concept is correct.
Or you're going to get faced with fines. And so it's getting fined on a daily basis, thousands of dollars, Well, meanwhile, our project was part of the solution. Okay, because if we have the mental health facilities here, we can take care of people here locally. Mm-hmm. Also, if people are coming out of state hospital, they can have a room here. There's no place to go right now. So we were part of the solution that was got blocked.
So I mean, is there an option, I guess, from here? I mean, is this just sinking the project?
We're taking a step back and going to take our catch our breath, and we haven't had to have further conversations. Honestly, we're like, okay, what are we going to do next? We're still in the recovery, and we're like,
because as I hear these rules, and I'm not saying that back in the mid to late '60s, I wasn't around, that there wasn't a good reason for these rules. There may well have been. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was based on true stories. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
I understand that. But there's a reality as we deal with the mental health crisis of today, which I would think is far different when you're talking about the late 60s and 70s, in terms of numbers, awareness, what we know, what we know scientifically about mental health that we did not know 50 years ago. That, I guess where I start to go is, are these rules relevant to today?
As it happens, later this week, Commissioner Hagee and I are going to Philadelphia for the National Convention of County Officials.
Yeah.
And we'll be putting forward the resolutions that we carry up to the federal legislature. And one of them is this exact point, is take another look at this exclusion, this 16-bed, because it's an arbitrary number, right? You do need an arbitrary number, but financially, it's too small to run a facility. And we can make a larger facility, 20, 30 beds, and still be very humane. We know what to do now. We didn't know what to do 60 years ago.
Well, that's a matter of also just enforcement as well. I mean, 60 years ago, if they'd enforced things properly, they wouldn't have been in those problems. But again, but also, they didn't know either.
So the part about changing the rules is not just a local thing. It is a nationwide issue for everybody. In fact, it got us tripped up here when I was working at NorCorps. We started a program for students who are trying to get into halfway house programs but weren't quite stable enough. Mm-hmm. And they hit that same 16-bed limit, and then the program became uneconomic.
But I think you and I, though, both know that to get federal rules changed takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of effort. It takes a little bit of luck, depending on what the mix is in a certain area, be it congressional or other, or bureaucratic otherwise. And I guess I start to go, okay, what do we do in the interim? Because the mental health problem is now. And people who, all you got to do is look on our streets in the mid-Columbia and see, unfortunately, people who are in desperate need of help, and also make our residents themselves feel better from a safety standpoint.
Oh, I know.
Where do we go?
It's not a, we could do a quick say, okay, let's do something right away and respond. That costs a lot of money and takes a lot of investment. The project we were looking at was $50 million. We'd pulled together that much, and to do one piece of it, it's going to be 15.
It was going to happen in stages, it wasn't going to happen all at once.
And even still, whether, why we're looking for, where's the rules going to turn? Because things do change at the federal level. Do we act now or not? We're going to have to make some real thoughtful decisions on that.
That does bring up the point. Is there a way to do part of this that gets around those rules? I mean, I guess maybe if you just don't do the 16 bed, if you did more of an intake center.
There it is possible to do it in pieces. Mm-hmm. What we lose is the ability to move people from one stage to another. And then, because if we lose that, it's like, okay, we've got the person stabilized, but now they're back on the street and we haven't resolved anything.
Are you in danger of losing some of the funding you've required?
Probably so. I don't know for sure because there's lots of pieces to it.
I know you have a number of pieces out there, and almost always these pieces, when talking about constructing something, is you have to use it by X date, whatever the date is.
Yeah. Sometimes we can get extended. We've got extensions on that before. We might be able to do that again.
So,
Yeah.
And also lends to, Now, the property that we were talking about, the county owns that property, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we don't have to worry about the property going away on you.
So there's kind of two pieces to the property. One is the baseball fields, which we've been doing a great job refurbishing. Right. We had a tournament here a couple of weeks ago that was very successful. And then on the corner of 10th Street, there's this yellow barn building, and that's a county lot. And we're not using that building for very much.
So the space is there. It's reserved. It will happen. Obviously the partnership with the Columbia Center for Living stays. I mean, Wasco County is a part of that. Hood River County is a part of that. So that stays in place.
Interesting. In Wasco and Hood River counties, our mental health authority and our public health authority are not under the county government.
Right.
And in I don't know, many or most counties they are. We've got that independence, which kind of nice. It keeps the policies being made by people who know the business and know how to treat people as opposed to politicians.
Well, also, if the counties of this area, if Hood River and Wasco County had to go on their own, each of them on their own to deal with this,
right?
There's no way they get the resources together. It just doesn't happen. We point to that with a lot of things. In the end, we got to do this regionally in many cases.
There's other regionalism happening with the housing authority. I'm sort of slipping off topic because we go across the river.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left here.
Yeah. If it could end up on one positive note?
Okay, sure.
Okay. Just last month, we did a groundbreaking for the Mariposa Village project.
Well, yeah, of course, just down the road from where we're sitting here in the river.
As you're driving up, what's the road?
Rand Road.
Rand
is what
Road.
It is.
You see a lot of construction going on. That's going to be 130 units of low income housing, some of it Section 8 housing. And it is so gratifying to see that happen. I was talking to the staff who work at there, and I was asking, what does this mean to you? And she put it so simply. She said, if a family has a home, then they can cook a meal and eat dinner together. And in the morning, they can sleep in their own beds, get up, wash themselves, eat breakfast before they go to school or work.
And this is not a knock on this project whatsoever, but the reality is the middle housing is the big problem.
Middle housing is the big problem, yeah.
And you don't find funding for those.
That's harder. There are some other models, Community Land Trust.
Big River Community Land Trust building a house right now, and it's one.
But they've
also got some property there. I mean, they're talking about, you know, about 30 or so. On a particular property, but of course, how you financially do it is a big part of the equation.
We have another project going, getting started on Chenoweth Loop Road in the Dalles, but I agree with you. The next focus needs to be that middle housing.
And speaking of another project that went away, was the potential for the child care center.
Yes, that one is the federal government pulled the rug out from under us on that one. It was all ready to start.
This has not been a good stretch of months for this area as far as potential projects are concerned.
The other thing I would say to end on a good note, starting back to Rowena Fire, if I'm going into a crisis, I'm really glad to have the staff that we have on hand on our county government. It's excellent.
I mean, in a situation that, I mean, again, you couldn't have stopped it. I mean, That was worst case scenario, I think, fireway, at least close to worst case. Maybe you brought me up, I won't bring it up on the air, but you brought me up one possible worst case. But
we get past these things. Okay, good, we're done. You know, that worst is over. Hey, folks, we're heading into many more years of bad situations. We need to listen to warnings. We need to defend our houses and take care of each other.
Phil Brady, Wasco County Commissioner. Phil, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Murray.
Have a good vacation.
I will have a good vacation when I get there. 8:52. We'll come back and wrap it up after this.
Warm days are back in the Gorge. Don't wait for the heat to spike before checking your AC. I'm Kimberly from A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Now is the perfect time for your AC maintenance. We offer exclusive memberships including HVAC, monitoring, generators, and plumbing to keep your whole home running smoothly year-round. Is your system ready for replacement? As the 2024 Highest Residential Participation Award winner from Energy Trust of Oregon, we'll help you maximize rebates and incentives to return your home to peak performance and keep cash in your pocket. Call us, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
Summer heat is here. Don't sweat it out in your vehicle if your AC isn't blowing cold or not blowing at all. Call the experts at Precision Automotive. Their certified team is trained to repair all air conditioning systems, including those using the new 1234YF refrigerant. And they offer honest, competitive pricing. Call Chris or Alina today at 541-296-5153 and get that AC blowing cold again. That's Precision Automotive at 541-296-5153 or online at precisionautotd.com.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus, and it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com. To tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is 8:54 in the morning on MCT. Do we do all the break, or we got one more to come? One more? How long do I have? I'm asking Cameron here, producing. How long in the break? I'll do the rest of the math. 1 minute? Okay, thank you. I was just trying to figure out where what I had time to do here real quick before I take the next break. Let's see. A couple things going on. We'll mention those. Rainbow of Magic, magic tricks and family-friendly comedy with Louis Fox this morning at 11 at the White Sand Valley Community Library, then tomorrow at 5:30 at Hood River Middle School Auditorium. Breaking Bread series with Skamania County Sheriff Summer Shire is this evening, 5:30 to 7, at Stevenson Streetery on 2nd Street in downtown Stevenson. Sit down to discuss community issues facing Skamania County. I am trying to get Summer on the show next week while Marty Dane's a guest hosting for me to talk about her proposal about basically they've had so many search and rescue calls and the numbers have gone sky high in Skamania County on those in recent months. About basically if people have been negligent, the ability to cite or charge them for the search and rescue services, which this has been bandied about in a lot of places. Hopefully we'll get her on the show maybe next week and Marty can talk to her about it. 8:56, we'll wrap it up after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
The American Cowboy is everything that makes this country great.
There's a freedom to being a cowboy.
Being a cowgirl is not a safe, easy path, but it's one that's very rewarding.
The American Cowgirl is dedicated to her livestock. She's dedicated to her country, and she's dedicated to her family.
The American Cowboy is honest.
We're the backbone of how this country was founded.
There's a whole lot of legacy that goes along with being a cowboy, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Boo Barn, keep west.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. Just enough time to tell you tomorrow, John Bryan's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the play that's going to be performed at Columbia Center for the Arts next couple of weekends as Columbia Center for the Arts starts its anniversary celebration, Love in 4/4 Time, written by Hood River's Gary Young. We'll talk about that play, and we'll talk to Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, tomorrow morning, who will be joined on the show. We're also going to have with us on the program Lisa Tedford, the nurse practitioner at Hood River County Health Department, talking about reproductive health services that they have available. So that is what's coming up on the show tomorrow. Thursday on the program, we will be talking to Tova Tillinghast from Underwood Conservation District. They're talking about Tree of Heaven. And Friday, Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich, and we'll talk to Cheryl Rager from Clipboard's Discovery Center. We are out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Wednesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Maybe he was born with his witty humor.
Some people bring joy wherever they go. Some...